Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score, a programme which is jam-packed with football this evening. Coming up shortly, we'll be hearing from Institute manager Kevin Deary. It's been a good season for the Derry side. They are, of course, fighting at the top of the Irish League Championship, and they have a huge top-of-the-table clash coming up this weekend against Dundella. We'll be getting the thoughts of the former Derry City player, now Stoot boss, on the programme shortly. But I'm sure, as you know, this weekend, of course, sees the start of the new League of Ireland season for the North West clubs. Derry City are, of course, in action on Friday night, kicking the campaign off against Drogheda United at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. And then on Saturday night, Fin Harps will start life in the First Division once again as they take on Longford Town. That match down in Bishopgate with a 7:30 start time. We will, of course, have updates from that Fin Harps game here in Highland on a Saturday evening. So exciting times ahead if you're a football fan, with the new season getting up and running this weekend. And tonight on The Score, we're going to hear from two former Fin Harps captains to look ahead to the new campaigns. Joining me this week in studio was Keith Cowan, former Harps player, of course now with Derrick View, and also a man that knows a thing or two about football in both Fin Harps and Derry City, Declan Boyle. First of all, we'll get the thoughts of Declan. We talked about the pre-season, and Declan, who is currently with the Sligo's under-20s as their manager, feels Harps had a very strong showing in the lead-up to the start of the league and were impressive in that one against Sligo last time out.
Yeah, great result for them, you know. I suppose when you look through the squad, and Darren Murphy's obviously come in, and what he has added is he had added a wee bit of experience to the team as well, you know, and players that have been around the league as well. So with also players that have a lot of energy and their youth on their side as well. So there's a good mix there. So they had a big result, obviously, against Sligo Rovers, especially coming from 1-0 down as well. So that was really encouraging for Fin Harps and the players. And I'm looking forward to see how the season pans out. Obviously, last year was very disappointing. That's in the past. And we're obviously looking out to hopefully this year maybe push into the playoff spot and even above higher. Let's see how it goes. But yeah, it's been encouraging pre-season so far for Fin Harps.
Has it been a pre-season, Keith, for Harps that have them now in a better position going into this year than probably where they were at the end of last year?
Definitely it does. When you think about what they had to do last year and build an entirely new squad, I think maybe they kept one player, Ryan Rennie, from before. And, you know, you look through the team there, or the squad that they've been able to keep, I think they've kept 16 of the squad from last season, which is great. You know, you've got a lot of experience in there. You know, you got a few players back in. Conor Turris, that was there before. They signed David Cawley from Sligo. I'm sure Decky knows, and, you know, I know from playing in the league for a few years. And then obviously, you know, the lads that have been there before, the likes of Tim Heimer, the keeper, who had been out for a lot of the season with injury, who had played through injury from the start of the season. Tony McNamee, you know, there's, you know, Ryan Flood, who hit the ground running last season and was probably one of the main, you know, shining lights, which came from last, or one of the main positives that came out of last season. So you have a lot of quality in there. Say you've retained a squad that's, you know, that's played together, that knows each other, that knows the management. And they'll be looking forward to get started on Saturday, and, you know, I'd be slightly optimistic, I suppose, you know, going into the season with that squad that's there. And, you know, we've seen the results in pre-season, and, you know, they seem to be, you know, winning games and, you know, getting good results against quality opposition. So yeah, there's obviously a few, you know, less testing games in there, but that's all to build confidence and to build fitness and to give people game time. So yeah, I think it looks positive.
Yeah, Declan, there was obviously a bit of optimism around Fin Harps last year, but there was a lot of the unknown as well when we had the likes of Dave Rogers in charge. Keith knows a thing or two about being under his managementship, but there was optimism, but as what I said, there was unknown. But there's more known now about this group of players going to go into the squad. So is there a bit more maybe solidness around the optimism that is there around Fin Park, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think Keith just mentioned there, it's always very difficult, somebody coming in new, and then you've no base of players that are signed, you know, so you're just in that unknown territory. And also the manager, we weren't sure exactly what we're going to get out of Rodgers last year, and probably the players he signed probably weren't of the quality they are this year. And also some of the players were saying didn't have the experience of working in that league or playing in that league, you know. So I think this year, as I said earlier, I think there's a good mix of experienced players and youth and energy and good pace as well. So I think that all should be as well for Darren Murphy and the squad of players. Obviously, Kevin McCucker in the background as well knows the league very, very well. So having that year behind your belt as well for Darren Murphy, because he would have played always in the Irish league, so he knows the grounds, he knows where he's going, and that makes a big difference. That's just a wee bit of experience. We know last year there had been up and down. The form was good games and bad games, and more bad than good. Very, very poor away from home. Conceded a lot of goals. So it's encouraging to see in pre-season they haven't conceded too many goals. They're keeping it quite tight. And if you are to be successful, you have to build from the defence. You have to make sure your defence doesn't lead too many goals. And also, you know, you've got to be fit to spring forward and cause problems. And they have that in the last year, you know. Obviously, the quality of players that they have, Sean O'Donnell, Aaron McLaughlin coming in there. And they signed your man from Bowes as well, Chris Lowell, Tiffy, as I think it's called. So we played against him last couple of years, you know, and he's really, really quick and very direct. And Finn Park will suit him, big pitch in Finn Park. So it'll be interesting to see how he pans out. Obviously, young and learning his trade, but he's got loads of energy and loads of pace. So Darren's going to win for that experience with energy and pace. So it should be a good combination. David Colley coming in is an excellent signer for me, really, really good. I was surprised that Sligo let him go. A really good professional, good around the place, works really, really hard. So he'll be at it. And there, obviously, Tony McNamee as well, and Connor Turry's coming back as well, will help the defenders, you know. So there's a really good mix. I'm looking forward to it, you know. I suppose it's important that they probably hit the ground running and get off to a good start. And I know it's difficult the first match away in the league, but that's a good match away for Longford. Well, they're well... I suppose they could go there and get 3 points, no problem. You know, they play up to the form that they should play and how they've done in pre-season. But it's important that their home form this year is really, really good. And that gets the fans up, gets the fans coming out and watching them, gets a wee bit of energy around the place. So I'm looking forward to the season. I said earlier, I think there's a really good squad of players to put together. Now it's about them going out and performing over the league.
Yeah. Longford's the opposition. There's a few changes down in Longford as well. So there is, Decky, but if you're on the road and... Would you be happy enough with a point to start things off?
I think so. I mean, yeah, obviously, you always go out to win the game and getting 3 points, and it depends how the games go. Some games you're lucky to get out with only 1 point, and then some games you get a draw and you should have got three. So it's really just depending on how they play and how they perform. It's always difficult the way in the first match. Every team starts off at the very start and they're full of energy because it's the first match, and you know there's a lot of eagerness and people want to impress. So yeah, and a big crowd as well normally down in Longford as well for the first match. So it's a really good occasion, you know. But yeah, they're absolutely well capable of going out there and putting on a big performance and getting 3 points. But you know, obviously if you get a draw or two, still a good start. Yeah, listen, either way that they'll go there positive. They've a good pre-season behind them, good form, good results. Especially in that last field against Sligo Rovers was an excellent result. Sligo played the strong team out as well. So, and they played Derry a couple of times too. And they haven't been, you know, they've dealt well with Derry considering the squad of players that they have as well. I know they drew and lost as well. So, but still, the form's been good. And they should take that into the first match. And you're expecting a big performance and maybe get 3 points.
Obviously, you've been to Longford on a couple of occasions, so you have, Keith. You play there last year?
Yeah, I was down last year. It's actually, we got two good results down there last year. We won both times. Stephen Henderson and Gavin Pearce down there at the helm, and I think it was more the end of the season last year where they started to really kind of kick on and, you know, sort of find their feet. I think the second transfer window helped them a lot. But yeah, I suppose with the guys going down there and, you know, being successful there last year, it's not a bad one to open with. Look, it's always good to get a point on the board early. You know, you don't want that to go on. But I think the lads will be positive going down there and maybe thinking that 3 points will be definitely achievable.
Well, then the game after that then is obviously the Cork City game.
Yes.
And I think Cork are out and out favourites. We've seen what Galway done last year. Is Cork going to be the Galway this year?
Possibly. It's, you know, when you look through the first division, you look through the teams that are there. Yes, you have Cork coming down, you have UCD coming down. Look, Cove, Wexford, you know, those ones that were in the playoff last year, they'll be looking to kick on. I kind of felt that it's between Galway and Waterford last year. They almost blew teams away, you know, with the quality that they had, the organisation that they had. You know, don't like to talk too much about budgets, that comes into it, but it does. And, you know, the amount of money they had at their disposal, they were able to get the better players in. You know, Ronan Coughlin, that was at Waterford, you know, amassing 33 goals, which is kind of unheard of. You know, and obviously he's got his move off the back of that. Galway, that were so difficult to break down in that. So Cork City coming down and blowing everyone away. Not so sure. Rory Keaton, his cousin.
You were a Boys One fan. You were a Boys One
fan. Exactly, his cousin, so it wasn't too far away. Yeah, Rory Keaton's moved on. He's gone to St. Pat's, so, yeah. You know, you've lost a lot of firepower there. A couple other lads have moved on as well. So, look, you're expecting, them to be up there. But looking through the league, you know, there's a lot of tough games. There's a lot of travel. It's difficult to, you know, it'll always take a few games to, you know, for everyone to have a look at each other and for the league to settle down in that. But to be a betting man, to pick a winner or even a second so far, and it's going to be difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Declan, playoffs the target for Harps?
I think so. That's what you'd be targeting. So obviously, at the start of the season, we'd be playoff spot and staying in that area and fighting to get obviously promoted. But I mean, obviously, if you get into those positions and come July, if you're in a good position and you're going well, you might add a bit more experience and quality to the squad and maybe push on and try to get to that, you know, second or even push on to the first place. That's going to be probably a difficult ask. I think Cork will probably dominate this year. They probably like to be a bit of power up front, but there's still going to be this team coming down, you know. I have a big, big budget as well, and big home crowd. Turner's Cross can actually help things. So I expect them to be up there. UCD came down as well. Lost a lot of players, so they're going to be very young this year. They recruited a lot of players, so it'll be interesting to see how they get on. Obviously, new manager in place, Danny Gallman, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. William Connor's down there, and good lad. Good to see him getting the opportunity. Obviously, done his time already with the Premier League as a first team coach, so it's an opportunity for him. But you know, they always have good players coming through the scholarship program, so the quality probably lack a wee bit of experience, but it might take them a wee bit of time to settle in. So it'll be interesting to see how they pan out. Cove Ramblers as well, so that's going to be an interesting one. They've done really well last year, so there's a lot of teams there that can push in, and then obviously you Bray looking to push into that area, and you Wexford as well, and you're hopefully Harps will be up there pushing into the playoff spots. A long way to go, but it's just getting that consistency, getting off to a good start, and building up a bit of confidence in the players, and hopefully then making sure that Finn Park is a fortress and you're getting victories where teams don't come and get easy points and go down the road again. So that's really important as well. But I think with the quality of players they signed, the experienced players, it'll be difficult for teams to come to Finn Park and get 3 points and go down the road. So yeah, it's really interesting one. We don't really know exactly what's going to happen here, and that's what's the great thing about the pre-season and the new season. You don't know exactly, and there's anticipation and there's eagerness, and you're so wanting to do well as well. So I'm looking forward to how the season starts, how they start the season, and then how it pans out. But I still think we're going to be a lot better this year than we were last year, for sure.
Is Finn Park, Keith, and getting those results going to be good enough to make it into that top five and get a playoff space?
I think so. I think, it'll have to change from last year. I think 5 home wins last year was, you know, it's pretty poor. I think they had more away wins than they had home wins last year. I think they had 6 away wins, with a couple of draws, maybe 7 draws in there as well at home. So, look, the philosophy, the way that, you know, Murph's going to set the guys up.
How different is that going to be from the philosophy that was there last year at the start of the season when you were involved in it?
Well, I don't think Murph's going to let his ego dictate how they play. You know, he'll want to be hard to beat. You know, Finn Park's always been a horrible place to go. You know, speaking to players that I've played with after my time at Harps, and you know, they all hate going there because, you know, it's difficult. The pitch can dictate along, especially at the start of the season, and then come the end of the season, just due to the weather and that. But like, they always hate coming there because we were hard to beat. We were defensively kind of sound, but then when you go kind of man for man all over the pitch and sort of leave yourself, you know, to you know. two centre halves v two strikers or whatever it is, yeah, or 3v2 or 3v3 at the back, then look, you're taking a big chance. So I think Murph will have them well set up. You look at the players that they have there, you know, playing at the back. You know, Jimmy Watson right back will probably, you know, start there on Saturday night away. Look at Conor Tourish, probably Matty Mackinson, maybe. You have a couple of left backs to pick from there, but no, have all played a lot of games in the league last season. So, look, I think that's going to be their home form. I think when, you know, the crowds, I suppose the crowds never really dropped away last year, even though the form wasn't great. You know, yeah, it seemed like a popular destination for people to go on a Friday night. Look, the way the players have interacted with the fans last year, you know, I've seen a big change there, and, you know, a lot of kids going to the games, and, you know, the players have definitely given their time, you know, to go over and make the fans welcome, and that makes a huge difference. But in terms of the football side of it, yeah, look, it has to be a hard place to go. Yeah. I think it will be. I think they'll be set up there. I think the pace that they have in wide areas as well, you know, Deggie touched on it there as well with Aaron McLaughlin, Sean O'Donnell, you know, the new guy success that they got from Treaty as well. I actually saw him earlier in the gym, and he's a big boy, and, you know, he'll cause a lot of problems up there as well. So they Dixie Ferry got a couple of goals the weekend, so, you know, he's going to be confident going into the season. So look, it's all bodes well, but yeah, look, home form is the key. It's a platform that you know that you set up on. And you know, that's going to have to be key if Harps are going to make a stab at the playoffs, and, you know, hopefully even further.
Take it back to you. We're talking about making Fun Harps a fortress. There's been a bit of talk this week about the new stadium. Once again, Aidan Campbell, the commercial officer, coming out and saying that they are now at a crossroads with the stadium. Basically, the government, there's funding there, but Harps have to raise a certain amount of money. There's going to be a new fundraising drive released this week. But it seems to be that we're talking again. It's the same old story with the stadium, but they're now at a stage where it's coming to a crunch period. So it is, Declan. Are we going to see this happen, do you feel, over the next couple of years?
Yeah, listen, I suppose we've been listening to this new drive every year where the stadium's going ahead, and you get some sort of promotional just before the season starts about the new stadium. We all know that it's badly wanted. We know the Fun Park has a lot of memories and a lot of history, but in this day and age, the facility is not fit for use. For me, for anybody going to the match, anybody taking their family or kids or their wives or their daughters to the game, is just not fit for purpose. And, you know, we need a new Fun Park, you know, so. And whatever needs to be done, needs to be done. Obviously, the money is there. The Sports Capital Funding is there, sitting with the Department of Sport. And it just needs to be, I suppose, waiting for the BIK and Benefit in Kind in regards to money to match fund the facility. And that obviously could be done now through a charity or raising up through the club. Getting that money from the public to support the application and finish off what they need to do. So I don't know, is it 4 million they have sitting there with the department, and they obviously have to match that fund maybe with another million or
million,
so.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Like, it's a lot of money to try to raise over a span of a year or two, and you don't want this going into 3, 4, 5 more years, because we've been listening about Fun Park and the new stadium. And it's a long time since the foundations and a half. The concrete went in for a new stand over in Stranorlar, and it's just sitting there waiting. And it just, I suppose, it loses its edge when you keep on asking about the stadium and nothing happening, and people just lose that, I suppose, the will to live a wee bit in regards to this stadium will ever be built, you know, and that's the fear, you know. And people deserve a new stadium. The sporting community, Fun Harps supporters deserve it, and you know, the players deserve to play in a good stadium as well in Donegal, and hopefully, you know, hopefully this is the last time where there's a massive big call, and hopefully the community can come and support it and raise the necessary funding to get this project up and running and get it off the ground, and hopefully have a new Fun Park over in Stranorlar in the very, very near future, because we know that soccer needs it badly in Donegal.
Keith, you were at Fun Harps, and you were hoping that you would be playing in a new stadium when it was all announced, but it didn't materialise. Aidan saying this week that the future of senior football is it a threat here if this doesn't go ahead. Is that something that you would agree with? That if it doesn't happen, that there's going to be, I suppose, threats looming over Fun Harps, that the existence at senior level may not be there anymore? Is it seen as that key?
I think at this stage, it seems like a bit of an eye-rolling topic that, you know, at the start of every season, they're sort of, you know, trying to sell the club on the back of, you know, getting the new stadium. As Dickie said, we've been hearing about it for years now. You know, there's always some sticking point, or, you know, something hasn't gone through. But it's a difficult sell to try and get players in when, you know, when you're sort of selling Finn Park as your home ground, and you see that the other grounds that are in the area, you know, obviously the Brandywell and, you know, and the showgrounds and things like that. I think look, as Dickie said as well, you know, you want to go and watch your football in a comfortable environment, and Finn Park isn't that. Will football in the Northwest and Ballyfae and League of Ireland, will the club hinge on not getting this? I don't know if it's as drastic as that. Look, there's always the interest there, and Harps not there, but, you know, it's going to be more difficult to attract people, to attract players, to attract families to come to the games if that's what you're serving up. And I suppose maybe with that, time will tell.
Yeah, and more difficult to get promotion and get out of there if the players aren't coming, Dickie.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the problem they have as well is sometimes, you know, we lose the whole momentum of it, you know, people are not sure exactly what's happening, you know, and that channel, communication channel, needs to be going out to the community, exactly where we are, what stage we're at, how much we actually need to go and finish this project or get it off the ground, you know, because you keep asking these questions and sometimes there's a lack of information going out in the general public, and that's very frustrating for players, for supporters. You know, and I know that the committee are working extremely hard, but sometimes that line of communication, to be honest with people and say, well, this is exactly what we need to do, this is how much money we need, and when we get this, we can go and build our stadium. And that's, so you're laying exactly your cards on the table and say, right, okay, and then you'll actually get support from the people that want to go and build a new stadium and want to be there, you know, because sometimes that information, it's very drippy, it comes out in drips all the time, you don't know exactly who's saying it, what's been clarified, what's not, and that's a problem, I think, you know, that communication with the people. People just want to know exactly, okay, where are we, what do we have to do, and now let's go and do it, and that's what needs to be done, and hopefully that will be the start of it, and we can get a new stadium for the people of Donegal and Finn Harps. I think you're right, as Keith said there, I still believe that there's no stadium in 3 or 4 years if Finn Park will still be in existence. But we all deserve to be playing or to be watching games in a good stadium and comfortable environment for adults and for families and for kids. That's really important.
Yeah. Listen, we'll move on. We'll be talking about the stadium, I'm sure, another day. So I think the general consensus is in the first division, as we leave it, that Harps will be targeting a playoff spot, and it looks like Cork City are the side that's going to be beat. But a one, Keith, without a doubt, would be a great start at the weekend.
It definitely would, yeah. And look, when you follow that with two home games, obviously, you mentioned Cork coming in and then Athlone as well. So, you know, early points on the board would be a great start. And, yeah, with Cork, and if they're going to be, you know, the ones to catch coming to Ballyfae, you know, an early point or three would be a great start.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the Premier Division. Derry City taking on Drogheda United, Keith's former club. Drogheda coming to the Brandywell. Derry didn't get up the trophy or didn't lift the trophy that they wanted last year, Keith. How big a year is this for the Candy Stripes and their hopes and their journey and trying to become league champions?
I think it's a really big year. You know, I think if things don't start well, then, you know, Rory could find himself under a bit of pressure. You know, when you think, when we talk about the money spent in there, the quality of players that they have, you know, they've made a real kind of statement purchase by going and getting, you know, one of the league's top marksmen, Pat Hoobin. You know, for the last couple of seasons has been up there in the scoring charts. I suppose if you look at the scoring charts from last year, I think he was 30s, but the other two lads that finished ahead of him have, you know, moved on across the water at 33. Can he still offer what he used to? You know, that surface that up there in Brandywell's, you know, fairly unforgiving if you're training on there, every, you know, every day of the week and playing on it. But look, he's been used to that coming from Dundalk. Daniel Kelly's also a good signing for them that they got from Dundalk. So, yeah, look, they have a great squad. You know, the quality's there. You know, Connolly coming at the back. You know, a local lad, Sam Todd, as well, will get a first season under his belt. So, look, they have real quality within the squad, and I'd be expecting them to be top two anyway, definitely. Shamrock Rovers, looking at last season, that they, you know, were able to, you know, kind of push on and, you know, win it quite easily in the end up. Yeah, look, this is a really big season for Derry.
Yeah, huge season for Derry. Listen, Declan, a guy that you know well, Paul Higgerty, has decided to step into to the Brandywell. He knows North West football very good. What did you think when you first seen that Paul Higgerty was going to be appointed as assistant to Rory Higgins?
He spends most of his life around football and watching games and watching players and all that. So yeah, listen, it's a great move for Paul back into Derry City, and he was there before and brought success before with Stephen Kenny on his number two previously. You know, so it's a good signing, I think, for Rory Higgins in regards to your backroom staff. Good committed player, a coach, knows the game and the league very, very well. So he'll add loads of experience to it. You know, you go through the squad that Derry have, and like it's top drawer squad. Like, you know, well, I went up and watched the match against Sligo Rovers, and I mean, they put out two squads, and one was as strong as the other. You know, they put out two 11s, and you know, they've got two players for every position around the field, and they've got real quality and depth. I do agree, two lads from Dundalk will definitely add to the firepower. I think probably over the last couple of years, the downside has been, you know, injuries to Patrick McLennie and Michael Duffy, and I think keep those two players fit and injury free for a season, I think they'll get the best out of them. If you look last year, Shamrock Rovers were in 72 points and Derry City 65 and St Pat's 62. I see those three teams to be up there fighting for those top three positions. I don't see that changing too much. Derry have obviously 7 points of a difference. That's well turn that around. They did a lot of draws at home last year. They've got to turn them into victories. Can they go and do it? I think they possibly can go and do it this year. You know, they definitely need to win a league or win an FAI Cup again, or Rory could be under a bit of pressure for sure. But the budget's massive up there. The quality of players are really good. So the only thing missing now is the league title. And that's going to be their goal for the season. But Shamrock Rovers, we know, have added real good players as well into their squad. Aaron McAniff has signed him, obviously, Derry lad. So he signed him, really good player. Scored a lot of goals and was there previously. Johnny Kenny's signed on loan as well. He's coming in later on. He's still over in Celtic, I think, you know. So they've signed real good quality again. So they're going to be the team to beat for sure. St Pat's have signed a lot of players with a lot of quality. They have the success of winning the FAI Cup last year. John Daly has come in and has done a brilliant job when he came in halfway through the season. So they've been back training since mid-December, and they're back a long, long time. Signed a lot of players, lost players as well, Dingdon, but they're going to look to have a big impression, and they've got their sights set and won in the league as well. So it's going to be interesting between those three teams for me to go in and win it. If it was to call it now, I wouldn't be 100% sure. You'd think Shamrock Rovers Derry, but it's just, you just never know what's going to happen. But Derry this year will be pushing hard for the title.
Sorry, Dick, just to go back on one of your last points there, you said you're one of the pre-season games, and you know they're able to put out two teams, and you know, pretty much as strong as the next. Do you think that's one of the maybe reasons last year why things didn't materialise for them? Yeah, they had a couple of injuries not there, but they've got, when you have so many in a squad and with such quality they have, do you know what your best team is? Does Rory know what his best team is?
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, because you have the players that play, and they have players they can utilise in different positions, like fullbacks and midfielders and that. And no, I just think, you know, you lose the quality of Michael Duffy for, you know, and Patrick McLennie. You know, they're real quality players that cause real problems, you know. Mm-hmm. You took those kind of quality out of their team. Now, Daniel Kelly will make a big difference. Hogan will make a big difference for sure. Will be a threat, and what they can do now as well, they can go a wee bit longer. I thought last year when I watched them a few times, I thought they were very, very good around the pitch. The only area that they lacked a wee bit of quality was up top, where they didn't have that front man that could hold it and protect it a wee bit. Like, you know, what was happening a lot of times, a lot of them were just floating around, drifting into wee areas, finding wee pockets of space in the tens area. Yeah. But nobody was actually a focal point for them last year, and I think Hogan will be the main difference, because he can stay up there and they can go a wee bit directer, they can go more direct, a lot quicker as well, and look for flick-ons with the pace that they have of runners on either side of them. I think that could be the missing ingredient for them, really, you know. So if they can get him scoring goals regularly, I've seen him now a couple of years, and this year is the first year I've looked at him in pre-season. I went, you look as fit as I've seen you in a long, long time. His body shape, you know, he looks as if he lost a lot of weight during pre-season. So that, I think that'll add to him. But you mentioned earlier, you know, the problem is you do have is you've lads come from Dundalk, who played in Astor for 4 or 5 years, 6 years, some of them, and then they're coming into the AstroTurf facility up in the brand new well, and we know, as you say, it's difficult. It's really difficult. You train there every day, and it's just harder in your body. And as you get older, that obviously brings knocks and brings problems, muscle problems. So if you can keep everybody fit and well, I could see them going the whole way.
Do you agree with Keith that this has to be a big year for Derry? If you're a Derry City supporter, Declan, and obviously over the last couple of years they've been building and investing and bringing in several players. Is this now the year? Like you touched on an FAA Cup or a league title. Would an FAA Cup be good enough, or does it have to be the league?
Yeah, I suppose the chairman can only answer that question, you know. But, you know, I think if they want
to trophy... What do you think the supporters are expecting around the Brandywell?
I think there's extra pressure with them this year, for sure. There's a big budget there. They have the quality of players. Like, you know, they haven't run in too many players, like, so they're not missing that much. Like, they're very, very close to you know, going out and winning that. And, you know, I suppose Shamrock Rovers has been very good over the last couple of years, and they just need to knock them off the pearl and you know, be that driving force. But I agree with you, there's pressure on. They need to win. They don't want at least an FAI Cup medal this year, for sure, or a trophy. But I would say that, you know, the big concerns for winning the league title, and if Rory doesn't win the league title, he could find himself under pressure throughout the whole season.
And Declan, from a Sligo Rovers point of view, will they be starting the season tentatively? Because, listen, the pre-season didn't go the way that they wanted, and there hasn't been too many rumblings coming out from the showgrounds that there's going to be a huge push this year. You obviously have been around the showgrounds. You're in with the under-20s. What's the feeling in Sligo going into the new season?
Yeah, listen, I suppose there's a wee bit of anxiety, maybe, I would think, maybe, because they've probably looked at the squad of players that they have, and they've lost a lot of players as well. The budget doesn't seem to be as big as it was previous. And they're probably utilising some of the 20 players when needed as well. So their first, you know, 13, 14 players will be a real quality, and after that, then they're probably going to be using up younger players, so they don't have the same quality or experience. So, you know, you look around the league and you see what the other teams that they're fighting with. Derry United, Kevin Doherty, signed really well, good players. Excellent job last year as manager, one of the best managers in the league with the resources he had last year, so he'd be pushing hard. Stay in the league, you obviously have Waterford, Keith Long, signed really well. Good experienced players there as well. Seems to have a good budget. We have John Coffey down in Galway. They've signed a lot of players, seem to be backed financially by the Comer brothers, and they've put in a lot of money into the club, and they've a lot of players of real quality as well. So, you know, there are the four teams that I see out, you know, fighting for that playoff relegation area, you know, and you know, of those, probably if you're looking around, you know, Sligo have good quality, really good quality in the first, you know, say 12, 13 players. But after that, then, you know, they lack probably depth in their squad, and that might cause some problems down the line unless John can get a bit more, get a few more players and strengthen up the squad. But, you know, overall, the quality is good, but that's the area that you'd be weakening. If they pick up some injuries, the squad isn't as strong as the rest of the teams, and that'd be a worrying aspect for me, for John and the squad.
Would you be worried about Sligo Rovers this year? Do you think that they're potentially, well, you mentioned a relegation battle there, but could they be potentially the candidates to go down?
No, you know, I suppose I wouldn't say that they could be potential. I think the teams that come up are very strong. Mm-hmm. You know, I really think that more so than any other time in the league. You know, your teams up last year, like your Cork come up last year, wouldn't be as strong as the Galway team that's coming up this year, you know. They haven't been financially backed as well as Galway. You know, Waterford, Keith Long seems to have plenty of money down there, and he's signed really well and signed experienced players that know the league well. So, you know, I suppose it all depends, you know. I mean, the form wasn't great for the last part of the season, so, you know, depending on how they start off the new season, they could be under a bit of pressure, you know, and can they outstay that? And well, time will only tell, you know. But, you know, John would probably need that luck to get a few more players. And he has obviously had a wee bit of experience as well, you know. But, you know, I know they are trying to get a striker in as well, and get a striker in with the quality that they're looking at. That would be a big help for them, for sure.
Yeah, see, they got Ed McGinty back in there on loan from Oxford, who's, you know, was the goalkeeper for the last couple of seasons. But any of the other lads that they seem to bring in, you know, a lot of you know, youth there, a lot of young lads, the lad Ollie Durhaman from Cardiff City, Charlie Wiggett, another lad, centre half, and from Newcastle. Yeah, look, they're all coming from big clubs, I suppose, but, you know, if you're on that end of the table, as we would know, experience is going to count for a lot.
Yeah, of course. I mean, players know the league. You know, I always say that it's an added bonus for sure, you know. So they have players. I mean, that's John Mahan got injured during pre-season and he's on his Achilles, so he's out for the year. Like, that's a massive loss. You know, your captain as well, one of your leaders. And you know, and it's hard to replace him, even though the players coming in. So, and again, when you sign players, you just don't know what you're going to get out of them. Like, you know, so it's okay for 2 or 3 weeks. Like, but give them, you know, a month or two, you don't know how they're going to develop. Are they going to be good enough? You know, are they good enough to the standard? Like, now, they sign players from good clubs that seem to have, on CV, are looked very, very strong. So you're hoping that they'll hit the ground running and perform to the levels that you need, you know. So, but he's going to need, because the squad is quite bare, I think, he's going to need to make sure that he keeps them fully fit, you know, and you know, long-term injuries could have a negative impact on the results and where they end up in the league, you know. So, but, you know, listen, I suppose, you know, long way to go. He probably will try to bring more players in as well, which will help the squad a wee bit, you know. But I know that there will be some of our squad involved as well, and which is great for them, you know, from our side. And on the 21 side, see young lads getting opportunities, you know. So, and they are good quality as well. So, you know, that's positive as well from the club's perspective.
Yeah, and you spoke about there, you mentioned the two teams that come up, Galway and Waterford. I suppose it's the first time in a long time, well, that I can remember, that you've got two teams that are coming up that are both full-time. You know, so like that's massive. You know, that's obviously creates, you know, the quality. You know, obviously they're spending that time together. They're well drilled. You know, you mentioned that the type of players are able to track. Waterford signed Patrick Ammon there from the lower leagues in England, who's been around a lot and scored a lot of goals. So him coming in up will be massive for them. Galway have added a few as well, which is going to make them a lot stronger. So yeah, look, as you mentioned, it's going to be difficult for Sligo if these young lads can come in and hit the ground running, but it's definitely going to be a competitive league for sure.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is probably the first year that I remember, Keith, where every single team in the league are actually full time. Mm-hmm. You know, every team's gone full time, and even Toronto this year went full time as well. It was a full time league, like, so. You know, where before you always had 2 or 3 clubs that weren't, so the professional team should in theory be better than the teams that are not, but that's not always the case, you know. But this year they're all full time, so it's going to be very, very competitive. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very competitive in the top end of the table for me, with obviously Shamrock Rovers, Derry City, and St Pat's pushing hard. And then in the bottom end of the table, you're looking at probably those four teams: Drogheda, Galway, Waterford, and obviously Sligo Rovers. So it's going to be, you know, either way, you know, it's going to be going to be very difficult for those teams to find out where they're going to be placed at the end of the year. You know, it's going to be a lot of positive results, negative results, and it's how they react to that as well. So it's going to be up and top the whole way, top and bottom. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And obviously you've got teams in the middle then as well, you know. So Bowes will be in the middle of that as well. So fighting hard. Dundalk will be pushing hard as well. So they've signed new players as well. And to the league, so
Shells too. Auburn, yeah. Shells in there with.
I was actually going to mention Shells, Mark Coyle's captain, but it's a big year for Shelburne because there's now a real expectation around the club that there hasn't been for a long time, Keith.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, European football has made you know, Shells a real popular a popular team again, and you know, the local interest obviously with Mark Coyle being there and being their captain, it just shows you how well he's thought of up there, and you know what Damien Duff thinks of him to make him captain of, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the country, really. You know, they've got real European experience there, and you know, a couple of great nights that they had over the years. And yeah, look, they'll be looking to push into the top three as well. They finished fourth last year. I think they finished, you know, I think it's on 60 points. They were just two behind Pats in third, so they'll be looking to push on. They lost Jack Moylan, which was huge for them, their top goal scorer from last year. But look, you know, a really interesting season for them.
Yep. Okay, listen, lads, we're going to close it off now, so we are, and we're asking you to put your neck on the block, so we are. Premier Division winners for 2024, and the FAI Cup as well. We'll mention that. Keith, we'll go with you first.
Are you looking for reasons why, or just
a well, who do you, well, give me a reason if you want. Right, give me a brief reason.
A brief reason. Right, we'll wrap it up. I think Rovers, just because they know how to win. You know, the squad hasn't changed too much. You look at how they won the league last year. You know, they didn't have a standout goal scorer. The whole squad contributed. You know, you seen them, a taste of them last week in the President's Cup. You know, they were excellent against. Look, I know it's pre-season. I know it's not, you know, it's not the full thing, but you know, the quality of players they were able to bring on, some of the players that are still missing, Pico Lopez, who was out in the Africa Cup of Nations, you know, Jack Byrne, who hasn't played, didn't play the last 4 months of last season, who is, you know, they're trying to get him back. I think he was involved in pre-season behind closed doors games. He's picked up a niggle. They're trying to get him back in. He's not too sure. So, like, that's a massive player to bring back into your squad. So I think just with the quality that Rovers have, you know, the experience, you know, they know how to win. Look, they'll be firing on all fronts as well, League Cup and Europe. So for me, League, it's going to be Rovers.
And the Cup?
Well, the cup can be anybody. It's difficult to pick one there. You know, you would have said last year, you know, you wouldn't have thought maybe it was Pats, but yeah, look, they've got, you know, real quality pedigree. Yeah, so if I go cup, I'm gonna go Drogheda.
Drogheda for the cup and Rovers for the league. Listen, Declan, who are you picking for the league?
I keep it quite simple. I think Shamrock Rovers will probably win it with Derry coming in behind them, and I think Derry might go and win the FA Cup. So obviously between them and St Pat's, that's what I'd be looking at, you know. So I'm not sure about Drogheda and Keith's choice there, I have to say. I'm not sure. Were you drinking before you came in here?
Some insider knowledge. You don't know who I know down there, Decky. So having a few conversations.
Dave Webster's back there, isn't
he? Dave's back there, yeah. Dave's signed there.
Yeah,
Harps
captain as well.
Listen, lads, we're going to look forward to what will hopefully be a successful season for the North West clubs and in particular Fun Harps, and hopefully they'll have a better season than last year, and fingers crossed they can make the playoffs. But listen, Keith, thanks for coming in and joining us tonight, and to look forward to the football, and I'm sure we'll be speaking regular now over the coming weeks. And Declan, it's always good to have you on board. Good to see you and good to talk to you.
Thanks a million, lads. I'll be catching up.
That's Keith Cowan and Declan Boyle speaking to me this week in our League of Ireland a preview special, and you can watch that interview in full as well on the Highland Radio YouTube channel. And once again, we will have updates from Longford Town against Fun Harps. 7:30 is the kickoff in Bishopsgate. Denise O'Flaherty will be there on Saturday evening for Highland Radio Sport. Okay, time for a commercial break here in The Score. Back with more after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score here in Highland on this Thursday evening. Now moving on to the Irish League Championship, and there's a big top off the table clash taking place this coming Saturday at the Brandywell. Title chasing Institute are up against the leaders Dundella. As they go into the game, Dundella have a 4-point advantage and also have a game in hand as well. But Stoot are looking to put it up to the leaders this week on the soccer preview. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with the Institute boss Kevin Deary, who has been happy with how the club has progressed since he took over the reins.
Yeah, Chris, definitely. I think looking from where we've taken Institute, obviously being down around the bottom of the table for the last couple of years. So at the start coming in, it wasn't an ideal scenario to come into a club. But which scenario is, whenever a job becomes available, it's usually for the wrong reasons and the club's not going really well. So no, we're really happy with our progress. Very, very competitive in every single game we've played in this year. Probably one or two games we showed a wee bit of inconsistency, but outside that, delighted with the effort and the work rate of my players and my staff as well, to be honest.
And of course, just to remind listeners, you were manager there before from 2015 to 2017 and were involved in a number of playoffs.
Yeah, listen, I was off the back end of my playing career, and I went into a coaching role with my former youth team, Trojans, who went into the Intermediate League, and we done quite well, and then I got that Institute job. Two really competitive years, and we were unlucky not to go off via the playoff in them 2 years, so a lot older and wiser now, and listen, once I knew the opportunity was there after getting in at Derry, the Bideki's assistant, it didn't really go as well as I hoped, being back at my hometown club, but delighted being back out my own now with my own ideas and trying to be competitive and achieve something with Institute. It's a hard job, but it's a very rewarding job because there's a lot of young talent there, and for me it's refreshing that they're not there for the financial gain, so really enjoyable that side of it.
Now, you had a stint as well with Mayville Celtic in the Inishowen League. You've got one eye on players in Inishowen, and you know there is that cross-border element, there's players moving all the time from Institute and Harps and Derry and Limavady and whatever.
Yeah, well, it's difficult for us. So we have to target the players that want to use us as a platform. The Mavill one was sort of one that, as I said, no, it wasn't for me for about 3 or 4 times, but I ended up just going down in a coaching capacity, and we spoke to a lot of young Derry players who sort of didn't make the grade in Institute and wherever, Cockhull or wherever else, and assembled quite a decent wee team, and it was an enjoyable time. The one thing I would say, the actual Sunday games and all was challenging for boys who were more or less giving up all their free time for nothing, so it was difficult that side of it, but in terms of here now, when you're at an Institute, you've got that policy in the brand well week in, week out. It's senior football as such, where most junior football. So sometimes you go away and you want to get on the pitch again, and that was the case in Mavill. I just wanted to get coaching again and get my ideas across to players, and you'd be a lot more grateful now as well, because it was a challenging time, and the National League's a really difficult league, so it'll stand for me in the long run.
As the season's gone on, as well as the league, there's been cup competitions, and you have plenty to look forward to with a Northwest Senior Cup final and also the Irish Cup.
The wee cup final they look forward in the Northwest Cup against a very good Limavady team as well, who are doing really well in the division below us, top of the league. So we're looking forward to that cup competition. We've obviously got Lumfield coming up at the start of March. That hasn't gone without its challenges as well. There's not a whole lot I can say in that. We've done everything we could when we won it on the pitch, and we've done everything above board. So we're really looking forward to hosting Lumfield as well in the Irish Cup quarter final.
Yeah, so it's out of your hands. The Ards have decided to put in an appeal. We'll see what happens in that one. Ards having caused an upset in the previous round, it was great to get past them.
Ards been a very good Crusaders team. They would have fancied the chances. Very delighted the way we played in the brand. Well, we controlled most of the game. And then, obviously, they hear there was a protest done against one of our players who totally eligible for the game. And there's some rules with grey areas that are difficult to manage. But it was out of our control for sure. And we done everything above board with the officials and the opposition.
Now, looking at the league table, well, earlier this week, Dundella beat Bangor 3-2. Yeah. That put them clear at the top. They have a game in hand. They're 4 points clear. So, they are in the driving position. But behind them, there's yourselves. You play them this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a massive game for the club.
Big game for us. Big game. I was actually up in Dundella. They watched them and Bangor. Really, really competitive game. Two teams who epitomise the division. Total commitment, hunger, real desire. They try and do well among this division. It's going to be really difficult for any team. So we know we Dundella coming down to the Brandywell and down to Derry that we have to pick full advantage. To be honest, we can't allow ourselves to drop, even draw the game. I would imagine it'll be a big result for them, and I'm sure they'll be aware of that after turning Bangor over last night. So We go out to try and win every game, and that'll certainly not change on Saturday, but it'll be a difficult game, which they all have been against Dundella. Most games in this division are really tight. What I'm really happy with at the minute, I think in our last 8 games, we've kept 6 clean sheets, so we're no easy shakes ourselves, and we're really looking forward to a good battle on Saturday.
Yeah, and we've mentioned Bangor, Portadown still in the mix. They're just a point behind you with the game in hand. So as things stand, it's a four team race, so it could be one of the most competitive ever championships.
Absolutely, and for us to be there so early in this journey, we want to stay in it as well. As I said, before we come on air, there's still 11 games. Some have 12 and still 33 points there, and that's a massive amount of points that you have to really chase and get as many as you can, and as I say, at the end, then let's see where it takes us.
Yeah, and the league, there's 33 games, 11 or 12 teams, so that's 3 series of games, and then you have a split.
You have a split then where you play the top 6 then, so you'll play 5 more in the split then, depending on how many you played in your general season. You do 3 away, 2 at home, or vice versa, 2 away, 3 at home, so we'll wait our fate then, hopefully, we can stay at the top end, challenging, and see where we can get there, as I say.
Tell me, what about the support this season, with results going well on the field? Has that been reflected with an increase in attendances?
Yeah, listen, I think we have seen that, definitely. There's a good family feel about our games. We've promoted that from the day and hour we went under the job. I think speaking to some players that's been there previously, I think people lost heart and going to watch them and things like that, but certainly since we've come in, there's been a lot of family members and more ex-Amplitude supporters coming back. Some Derry City fans coming to the game as well, which is brilliant for ourselves. And we want to be known to be a North West team and so get the full city behind us and the Waterside area as well. We invite everyone to come watch us.
So tell us a little bit about your squad as things stand. What sort of a mix of players have you got?
Yeah, listen, we've done wonders to actually get Oisin Devlin back from Larne, who agreed a good fee with the club. Now, he signed a 3.5-year deal at Larne, but we managed to get him back on loan. And it's testament to Oisin and Larne as well, because he wanted to move. He felt that he had unfinished business here. He wanted to try and compete and challenge with Institute, saying he's been there since he's been the academy graduate. So we've got Sean Leppard, we've got a handful of players that our clubs have tried to take. Michael Harris, who's done great. We've a few from Derry and Lone, Liam Mullen, Kevin Porter, who you'll know from his Fun Harps day. So we've assembled a really good, young, hungry team that, as I said earlier, that want to be footballers but want to use Institute as a platform. They go on to bigger and better things, and we hope it's with us getting the Irish Premiership. That'll definitely be a big step in their careers as well, because the fact is that I'd say about 12 or 13 of our boys are on their first year of senior football.
What would it mean to you and to the club if you could get promotion?
Yeah, listen, I think when you reflect and you can get to the end of the season and go, and we'd give everything. We train 3 nights a week. As I said earlier, no one's getting rewarded financially, so that's a real refreshing. But so I would love for the players they get a taste of that top grade in Northern Ireland football. So basically my hunger and motivation is for my group of players. They get to the Irish Premiership and let them go and have a taste of, the top grade in this country.
Finally, Kevin, you played your entire professional career with Derry City. You were club captain. You had many great moments, and no doubt you're always keeping a close eye on their progress. How do you feel they'll do in the Airtricity League Premier Division this season? Can they match or beat Shamrock Rovers and take a title?
Yeah, listen, I have no doubt that this group of players will be right at that top end. The fine moments and keeping the real key players. Now, I think we're as even strengthened in every department, where if he does get a few setbacks and a few injuries in the previous couple of years, they mightn't have been able to manage that, and they've struggled and they've lost key personnel. But certainly this group of players now, if they do get 2 or 3 injuries, they have a lot of like-for-like players and they can replace that. So I think it'll go right to the wire between Derry and Shamrock Rovers, and obviously we're hoping for Derry City to come out in the right end there for a change.
Well, we appreciate you joining us on Highland Radio, Kevin Deary, Manager of Institute. No, we wish you the very best of luck for the rest of the season.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
That's former Derry City player, now Institute boss, Kevin Deary, looking forward to that top of the table clash this weekend. Locally in football here in Donegal, the Oscar Traynor Interleague Trophy first round second leg tie is on Sunday at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. 1 o'clock is the start time. Donegal, of course, going into the game with a 3-2 advantage over Inishowen. And just finally, a consultation workshop between the FEI and the soccer leagues of the county is currently taking place as we speak in Letterkenny at the Radisson Blue Hotel. Among the agenda, and as part of the football pathway plan, all affiliated leagues would move to summer football in the calendar year, just like the League of Ireland. Now, the Donegal and Inishowen Junior Leagues have turned down this option previously, but it seems the governing body wants to implement summer football across all levels of Irish football. This proposal is again expected to be met with a stiff opposition this evening. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the programme, you will be able to recap on our website, highlandradio.com. What's left of your Thursday evening, have a very good evening. Chris Ashmore's back with our next sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.